WBSM presents Brian's Beat with Brian Thomas, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, Brian Thomas.
Hey, 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 how you doing? It's Friday. Finally Friday. I wonder if there's a website, finallyfriday.com. Anyway, it's finally Friday, and I'm glad to be with you. Brian's Beat, the original show, born at the apex of freedom, entrepreneurship, and nomadism. And it is the fifth day of December. I guess that makes sense. Monday was the first. Anyway, on this date, and I haven't added up all the years, but my guess, if I do some really quick math, 92 years ago today, something happened that changed the United States, I'd like to say forever. And it makes me wonder if we'll ever have a similar type of change when it comes to marijuana and cocaine and, you know, some of the other drugs. Prohibition ended on this date in 1933. And I'm trying to think, I guess they had about 13 years of insaneness in this country when folks couldn't manufacture, couldn't transport, and couldn't sell alcohol. You could do alcohol at home or at a friend's home, but that friend couldn't sell you a nip bottle, or not that they had nips back then, but, or you couldn't bring your alcohol over to a friend's house. Basically, that alcohol had, can you imagine booze that's left over for who knows how many years? Think about that. Usually when people go out, and, you know, I know you could have an aged bottle of brandy or scotch or whiskey. But in general, you know, that beer, although I got to admit, there was a time there that I had beer in the refrigerator, some good Moosehead. But as I started to drink less and less and less, that Moosehead stayed in the refrigerator longer and longer and longer. And the kids used to come and go, "You ever going to drink that?" And I never did. I guess I eventually I did, but or maybe they, I don't know. I don't know what happened to the Moosehead. Anyway, prohibition. What did it lead to? Led to folks like Al Capone. Led to police officers, judges on the take. And if that sounds starkly familiar, we have the same thing going on with the prohibition of drugs. So am I saying let people manufacture at home? Well, they already do, don't they? Certainly with marijuana, you can do that here in the Commonwealth and in many other states. But you're not allowed to sell it. And, you know, I guess I'm okay with that. You've got businesses operated and regulated. You can do the same thing with the other drugs. I guess where I come from, it's bad enough that people get hooked on drugs. I know they do. You know they do. And the question I'm often asked, are we a better society if we legalize drugs? And my quick response is yes. And here's why. We are better off not cluttering up our prisons with people that have done drugs and people that are, you know, they may have bought enough drugs for themselves and their next door neighbor. And all of a sudden we're putting that person behind bars because they sold a dime bag to a neighbor. Now, some of these other big drug dealers, I get it and I understand it, but it's also my feeling that the big drug dealers would be out of business. They'd be out of business if drugs were legalized. And I can take you back to the 1920s, early 1900s, when drugs like cocaine were legal, I think, in bottles of Coke, Coca-Cola. People that wanted it could get it. They weren't going to jail for it. And it wasn't like we had an insane population out there getting coked up each and every day. So, just a thought. Prohibition ended December 5th, 1933, for the manufacture, sale, and transportation of intoxicating liquor. The Brian's Beat quote of the day. After climbing a great hill, one only finds that there are many more hills to climb. After climbing a great hill, one only finds that there are many more hills to climb. Nelson Mandela with our quote of the day. All right, there is a lot, even on a Friday, a lot to talk about. If you'd like to join me, you can simply dial 508-996-0500. Let's start with just outside of Boston, Dedham. The nativity scene at a Catholic church. The Archdiocese of Boston has said the pastor has to remove that nativity display because it depicts Jesus, Mary, and Joseph taking sanctuary in a church trying to avoid ICE agents. And there's a big sign there that says ICE was here. Well, the Archdiocese of Boston has made the order, take it down. Now, I don't know what's going to happen. The order came out earlier today. New Boston Post had a reporter that went over there, took some pictures, and that nativity scene with ICE was here is still there. Look, I get where the pastor is coming from, but he has to respond to a higher authority than even himself. The Archdiocese of Boston has dominion. I'm not big on religion, but the Archdiocese of Boston has dominion over the Catholic churches in the greater Boston area. Dedham borders Boston. And so the order has come down from your leader, from one of your leaders, to take it down. Now, I guess that pastor at St. Susanna Church can always try to go over the archdiocese head. I don't know who that would be. Don't really care who it is. Again, I understand why you're doing the display, but the church is the church. It's supposed to be a sanctuary for prayer, not for political statement. And that's what the diocese is coming out and stating. So I guess to kind of mimic Ronald Reagan, Mr. Pastor, tear down that nativity scene. The U.S. Supreme Court, you know, speaking about seeking sanctuary, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, there are people that come to the United States of America seeking refuge. Some come and they're pregnant. Some come and they're not pregnant. Some get pregnant after coming here. The child, if the child is born here in the United States, that child is deemed a U.S. citizen. On his first day, or pretty close to his first day back in office, Donald Trump signed an executive order ending birthright citizenship. The whole thing dealing with birthright citizenship seems to be written up fairly well in our Constitution, in particular the 14th Amendment, and I'll get into that in just a sec. I'm going down this road today. I know we've gone down it through the summer and spring. We're back down this road again because the U.S. Supreme Court has agreed to hear the case challenging birthright citizenship. There are roughly 30 nations, mostly in the Americas, that allow birthright citizenship. If there are 30 nations, and the last count I had was pretty close to 200 countries in the world, the United States would be on the minority side when it comes to birthright citizenship. However, that really doesn't mean, we're on the minority side when it comes to capitalism and a lot of our freedoms. Are we giving that up? No. So the statement, the amendment reads, all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States. If the president, and let's think about this for a second. I would question whether the administration, Trump administration, any presidential administration has a right to do an executive order dealing with a constitutional amendment or the Constitution in and of itself, because that amendment is a part of the larger Constitution. So I don't think he has any grounds in this particular case. I don't know what the Supreme Court is going to rule, my opinion. But next, and here's where I know that there's going to be a lot of disagreement. I know that the 14th Amendment came out of the Civil War, or the ending of the Civil War, and about giving African Americans, African descendants, U.S. citizenship because they were here. I get that. But language speaks volumes. And to the many people here in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, you may recall about 20 years ago, there was a fight over whether or not this state could have same-sex marriages. And people, you know, there was a side vehemently against it, and there was a side strongly for it. The Supreme Court ruled, the state Supreme Judicial Court, let me be clear, ruled that the language indeed did matter. And it said between two persons and not between a man and a woman, no matter what somebody else might want to interpret. So I am assuming, only an assumption, that the high court is going to feel this way, or many members of the Supreme Court. I you know, who knows with this court exactly what will happen, but all persons doesn't say that all Africans that were here in the United States when, it says all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States. That's what the language reads, whether or not it was born out of the Civil War. And so it is my hope that the Supreme Court says, this is what it says, Mr. President, You can't change it. All right? Now, I understand where many people are coming from with this whole thing dealing with birthright citizenship. I mentioned earlier about the prohibition, how prohibition ended on this date in 1933. Well, it ended the same way it started, with a constitutional amendment back in, I think, 1919. Folks got up a constitutional amendment to stop the manufacture, sale, and transportation of alcohol. Well, it took another constitutional amendment. In fact, the only time it happened, another constitutional amendment to be ratified by the states in order to end prohibition. So my suggestion, I like to keep things legal and constitutional. If folks really feel strongly about birthright citizenship, who should and should not have it, let's do it the proper way. Let's do it the constitutional way. And let the individual states and the people talk to our representatives about how we feel about it. I could see a slight change. Here's what I would change. If you are coming into this country illegally and you haven't been able to press down any roots, that would be grounds for your child, if you have one born here, to not be a U.S. citizen. I think that's pretty fair. The other way is if you came here and you have a temporary visa. Well, that to me is a gray area. You could have a temporary visa. For instance, you get a temporary visa when you are a student at a college or university. Let's say you came here to go and study, and you happen to get pregnant while you're here, and you have that baby while you are here, while you are a student, and you want that child to be a U.S. citizen. That's okay. That's not somebody who came here with the intent of having a child here. And so there is that gray area. I don't know. The way it's written up is that the Supreme Court will decide whether or not folks on temporary visas or here illegally do have this right to birthright citizenship. And I think that, you know, the court may not have a choice. They may have to look at the case presented to them and make this decision about whether it's legal or illegal. Okay? That stated, I think that there are people, and rightfully so, that would say, hey, you came here illegally. You shouldn't be here in the first place. Why should you be allowed to have a kid here and then maybe down the road sponge off of that kid and be able to stay here? I get that. Well, the constitutional amendment could work, but people have to be willing to put it into play. I hear a lot of arguing, but I don't see people really doing stuff, the stuff that would matter. And if you really feel strongly, then it's worth the effort. If you love this country for what we're supposedly stand for, then make that thing work. Make our Constitution work. Let's say, hey, this was meant, you know, the 14th Amendment, it was meant to deal with Africans that were either transported here to the United States or by family bondage were into slavery. And now they're free. Okay? Well, the language doesn't say that. So let's tighten up the language. We understand that Africans were enslaved. The language wasn't tight enough back in 1865. So let's tighten up that language. Let's do it constitutionally. All right, let's hear from you. 508-996-0500. Thank you. Hello. Hello.
Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you well.
All right, okay. I can speak on this. There's three amendments made after that disastrous war between the states. And out of war, you change societies. Now, in that 14th Amendment, and all the amendments made, the three after the war between the states, it says Congress shall have the power to enforce by appropriate legislation the provisions of this article. So the answer is right there in the way that they wrote it. It's Congress's power to enforce it. If it's getting abused, then Congress has the power to straighten it out.
Correct.
That's what I look at it.
Yes. Well, they have a right to straighten it out, but they don't have a right to change it. So in other words,
it's being abused.
No,
wholeheartedly.
Congress has a right to enforce the language that is written there. They don't have the right to change that language. And the language says all people.
Born or naturalized.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
And under the jurisdiction thereof.
Yep.
So if you're coming into the country illegally, how under the jurisdiction thereof do you qualify?
That person doesn't, but the person that was born does.
I don't know. We may disagree on this.
Well, you're welcome to try to. That's fine.
I don't think by executive order can be done.
Oh, it definitely cannot be done.
If it's being abused, then that's enforcing the, by appropriate legislation, the provisions. Because if they write a law that you can't go 55 and all of a sudden the cop busts you over because you're doing 80, that's enforcing the provisions of that speed limit law.
Correct.
So, but that's things get out of control. They cause chaos to change societies, just like ICE running around. ICE was created out of the Homeland Security Act.
Okay, but let's stick to where we are. Let's stick to where we are. So,
if you really
feel strongly about this, and it sounds like you do, and I think it's a reasonable thought process that you're presenting, then come up with the language and do a constitutional amendment.
They could do something like that. Or they could just maybe write some laws and say you have to be in this country legally. You can't just crawl over the border because they don't know you're here, so you're not under the legal jurisdiction because nobody knows you're here.
But they know the baby. But they know the baby is here. And it's the baby. And
the
baby is
born. They don't know the baby.
See the language.
She could be born in a bathtub somewhere, Ryan. She could be born by a home mother in somebody's bathtub. And the government does not know that baby's here. The crazy times we're in.
If you want to take it to that level, I'm going to come back again. Then tighten up the language of the amendment, just like we did with prohibition. That way you're keeping it constitutional and keeping, you know, this is what if we are a nation of laws and the Constitution is the supreme law of the land and there seems to be some ambiguity with it, clear it up.
I hear you. So maybe even though we may be across the room right now, maybe there's a way we can walk toward the middle of the room and shake hands.
There you go.
It's not the way that it's being done now.
I hear you.
All right, man.
All right. Peace. I appreciate the call. Have a great one. Let us continue. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm well, and you?
I'm winging my way.
You remember who used to say, how are you? I'm well, and you? The great Gene Burns. I know you're familiar with him, right?
Yeah, we were friends.
Oh, you were friends with Gene? No
kidding.
I
was, yeah.
I'm quite familiar with him.
We spoke on a couple of platforms together.
Yeah, well, I'm quite familiar with his career trajectory from Boston to New York and then out in New York. That's another story.
Yeah, but San Francisco treated him very well.
Oh no, he was loved in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
He was sought after in New York, and did a syndicated show that tried to mimic the Boston show, but he was in the biggest market in the country, New York City, and he ignored some pretty strong local issues in New York, which is where the majority of the billing came from, the local station, not the syndicated show. But that's radio inside stuff. I'd love to tell you about it someday. But going back to the question, and I don't know the answer. It would be great to do a little research about the original intent of because I am an originalist and an originalist when it comes to the Constitution and its interpretation. That comes up to me, the clause, and subject to the jurisdiction thereof.
Mm-hmm.
Why did they add that clause? And my, without knowing this, without researching it, my suspicion is, from what I know about history, is that that was to exclude the Native Americans. And I don't know that, I might be completely wrong about that. What do you think?
So, well, I think that Native Americans are considered U.S. citizens.
But at the time of the adoption of the amendment.
You don't think they were? But then, Hold on.
Yeah.
If that's the case, then there would have been another amendment down the road to include Native Americans if they weren't included. And I come back, all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof.
Yeah, it's that last clause that has me kind of wondering about that, because there are, what state was it, Arkansas, in the last 5 to 10 years, where the jurisdiction thereof became quite an issue. So anyway, I'm not a legal scholar. Are you familiar with this case? I think, was it Arkansas?
Which case?
Oh, I'm gonna have to cite it, and I'll send you an email or something.
Okay.
It was about the jurisdiction on tribal lands, where there's a tribal police and a tribal, there are tribal jurisdictions.
Yes, there are.
And anyway, what that was like at the adoption of the 14th Amendment, I don't know. It just seems like that was a clause to cover the bases, the way the country existed at the time. And so it just to follow through with my illogic is that Congress may change the definition of who is subject to the jurisdiction thereof.
How can they?
So for somebody who is on a temporary visa, they can have a special subject to the jurisdiction thereof, and then maybe they could qualify it so that children wouldn't be born subject to the jurisdiction thereof. I suppose
that's a possibility, but it seems to me we can clarify it best by just amending the amendment, you know, either do away with that particular part of the 14th Amendment and then come up with what I guess would be the 29th Amendment. Is that the right number?
I agree. We could clarify it best, but we couldn't clarify it easiest. And we, you know, we're still working on the ERA amendment. So,
well, the ERA amendment is it's gone. It's done. It can't be
well, finally.
You can finally turn around and You can try to do it again, but the original one has expired.
Right, but what I mean is it's a very tough process. It's not like changing the Massachusetts.
Well, you know what? I keep on hearing, you're not the only person who says that. How tough can it be? And I'm going to say it like this. We hear people say about changing gun laws, and we've been hearing that for 30, 40, 50 years. You could have come up with you mean to tell me you couldn't come up with a constitutional amendment in that period of time and maybe gotten it ratified? Maybe you don't get it ratified. But I'm getting at, time is not necessarily of the essence when you come up with this kind of stuff. You know, Donald Trump is just trying to push it through because he thinks that's what everybody wants, or at least in his mind, it's what he wants. All right, but
yeah, well, I mean, it's interesting that he can't affect anything. I don't think anybody would agree with an executive order when it comes into conflict with an amendment.
Oh, are you kidding me? Do you listen to the station?
He's trying. He's trying, right? But what I mean is, it prompts a judicial review, and I think that's the point of it. And then that process would follow through, and then I suppose then there would be a push, a groundswell, if you will, perhaps not, to amend the United States Constitution. And if it's that serious an issue, like not being able to get a beer down at the road, right? If it's like prohibition causing grief, or the Civil War, you know, causing the termination of the nation, or potentially causing the termination of the nation, not that easy to amend the Constitution.
No, it's not. But at the same time, I don't see anybody making an effort to really clear this up. Hey, thank you for your call. I do appreciate it. That's where I'm coming from. If you really want the change, put in the effort to get the change. You might find out that, yes, everybody in Massachusetts wants it, but the rest of the nation doesn't, or vice versa. I can see ambiguity in the language. All persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof. I mean, look, we're having a debate right now on subject to the jurisdiction thereof. You know, all persons born or naturalized in the United States are citizens of the United States. If you take out that clause, that modifier, subject to the jurisdiction thereof. It's kind of like the Second Amendment in that clause, dealing about the well-regulated militia. So maybe all persons born or naturalized in the United States should not be declared a U.S. citizen. But how do you break it down? All right, naturalized. Born. The child that's born, what say did she or he have? And that child that's born, you know, here's one way you are subject to the jurisdiction. Kid is born. Kid becomes 4 or 5 years old. You're subject to go to school or somehow be educated. You're subject to the jurisdiction, the laws of the particular dominion that you're in, the city, town, county, state. Now, it would be great to hear from any Native Americans who might be listening, because maybe I am of the opinion that you are a U.S. citizen, whether or not you're living on tribal land and under that jurisdiction or not. I don't know. I would love some clarification on that. But it seems to me that Native Americans are U.S. citizens. You know, if they go to if they're born at St. Luke's Hospital, whether they want it or not, they're going to end up with a Social Security number and a birth certificate. And that birth certificate is going to have whatever address, and it's going to say USA. You're going to be born in the United States. Now, I could be wrong. I mean, I find it hard to believe the my best man was part Native American, and he always considered himself a U.S. citizen. I don't know. I really don't know. But I understand this part of the language. All persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof. Now, the naturalized part is interesting. I think born, we understand. You were born on this land. Naturalized, that's a little bit different. Because if you came to the United States from a different country, well, then you would have to be naturalized as a U.S. citizen. You're not born a U.S. citizen. Well, that's not who we're talking about in this particular case. We're talking about birthright citizenship. So in other words, your parents may not be citizens, but you were born here. And should you have that birth? I say yes, because that's what the language says. I understand why many people are in disagreement with that. All right, let's hear from you. 508-996-0500. Thank you.
Hey, Brian. Hey. How you doing?
I am. How are you?
Hanging in there. You know, the problem is here in our country is when you talk about founders' intent, which is the originality of the Constitution, they get pushback from those who try to interpret the law. So they give their own opinion. That's when the loophole comes in, the ambiguity, so they can twist it around to fit their narrative. But I was thinking about what you were saying. You can be born in the U.S. and be a U.S. national. Because when you look at an application for employment, it asks you if you are a U.S. citizen or U.S. national. I'm thinking the Native Americans could be U.S. nationals or anybody. Yeah, if you don't want, let's say, you don't want to have retirement and all of this other stuff, to receive federal program of benefits, you have to be a citizen. But if you don't want to be a U.S. citizen, you can be just a U.S. national, which is you're born here, you just don't want to be, reap the benefits of being a citizen. You understand where I'm coming from?
Kind of, but I think that if you are, let's say you have a green card, you're not a citizen, you're a citizen of another country, but you are a permanent resident, you qualify for the benefits.
Because there's a difference between a citizen, a U.S. national, and whether you have a green card or, the U.S. national, I always thought of, maybe somebody can call in and correct me, but a U.S. national is born here. You just don't want to be a citizen, meaning you don't want to have the benefits of citizenship. Because this is what I'm thinking. Because these Indians are in plantations. Plantations. What's the word I'm looking for here?
Reservation.
Like in the Midwest.
Reservation.
Reservations. Yeah. So I'm thinking they're the U.S. nationals, meaning some of them don't want to be citizens.
Yeah, look, I think I would like clarification on that, whether, I'm not going to try to guess who wants to and who does not want to be, but if you think that you can be a U.S. national and not be a U.S. citizen, well, we'll see. I don't know.
I think it's a choice, too. If you don't want to be an example, like I just said, you don't want to reap the benefits of Social Security and retirement and all of that. and you want to be U.S. national.
So let's see. You don't have to take Social Security. And there are ways that you can go about where you don't have to pay in to Social Security. Same thing with Medicare and Medicaid. Not Medicaid, but Medicare.
I think that's the road you want to look up. Look deeper into U.S. national versus U.S. citizenship. I think the answer might lie there.
Gotcha. That's what we will do. U.S. national. If there are any lawyers listening right now, maybe you can help us out with this versus U.S. citizen. Okay, I'm writing it down so that way I can look it up and I can call. Well, I'm not going to call any attorneys right now. 508-996-0500. Brian's beat on WBSM.
The Trump policy of ending birthright citizenship, that immigration policy, is it constitutional?
This is WBSM.
You know, most people are not business owners, but just about everybody knows one. The dirty little secret is most owners don't qualify for a bank loan because they lack collateral. At legitimate business funders, owners can get up to $2 million in funding with no collateral, even with a low credit score. And they can get that funding in a couple of days. Find legitimate business funders online at legitimatebusinessfunders.com. Legitimatebusinessfunders.com.
Back to Brian's beat.
We are deeply disappointed that the court did not decide today that a nationwide injunction is warranted so that no matter where in the United States a baby is born, that baby will continue to be a citizen.
Yeah, well, now the case is going to the Supreme Court. My guess is it's not going to get heard now, probably sometime in January or February. And the Supreme Court will have a decision, might be expedited, but at the latest in June. And who knows what happens if the president loses. Speaking of losing it, I'm reading here. I just got this from WCVB.com, the New Center 5 television station. Out of Boston, a New Hampshire man is accused of smashing the windshield of a family's vehicle near a busy shopping mall. Happened yesterday while I was doing this show. Multiple 911 calls reported the incident on Rockingham Park Boulevard near the mall at Rockingham Park, which is just off of Interstate 93. When officers arrived, they found a vehicle with a smashed windshield. Seems this guy got out of his car. Actually, he pulled up, kind of blocked off the car in front of him, got out, walked up to the car, and started smashing the windshield with his baseball bat. In the car, a family with a small child and an infant. You know, I know it's the holidays. Let me get into the reported reason why this guy did what he did. Apparently, the car that he blocked off got out of his own and smashed the windshield of. Apparently, the driver of that vehicle was driving too slow. And because that person was going too slow, this guy got himself in a lather, torqued himself off, got out of his vehicle and smashed the windshield. Now, imagine the kids, little kids, never mind glass flying all over the place. Imagine what they're thinking. Infant, small child, and somebody with a baseball bat battering in the windshield of the car. And what are the parents thinking? You know, what do we do? I mean, at that time, do you know that you're driving too slowly? Why this guy is going berserk? Man, I know it's the holidays. I know it's cold. But we've got to keep our temper. We really do.
We can now promptly file to proceed with numerous policies that have been wrongly enjoined on a nationwide basis. And some of the cases we're talking about would be ending birthright citizenship, which now comes to the fore.
WBSM.
I can't answer your call right now, but it is important to me.
That won't happen at Low Cost Air. When you dial 800-221-6085, a real person answers and helps you find your best airfares, foreign and domestic. Your choice. Automation.
Please leave a message with your name and number.
Or a real person. Low Cost Air, 800-221-6085. Low Cost Air, 800-221-6085.
Call 508-996-0500. Back to Brian's Beat.
We can now promptly file to proceed with numerous policies that have been wrongly enjoined on a nationwide basis. And some of the cases we're talking about would be ending birthright citizenship, which now comes to the fore.
Interesting discussion, and I will look up that U.S. national versus U.S. citizen to find out if there really is such a thing. 25 in born. 22 in a sonnet,